Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
94.9 The Rock, GTA's Rock Station. Welcome to Rock Mornings. Dean Blundell from DeanBlundell.com on the line. Good morning, sir.
Can you hear me, fellas?
Yeah, sound great. You sound good.
What is this? Are we good now? Can you hear me now?
Gotcha now, so yes.
There's a little bit of an echo there. There's a little echo, but it's all right.
Oh.
It's okay. It's, you know what? It's us. It's not you. It's like a
It's got to be perfect. Every time we go on the radio, it's like always got to be perfect.
Well, it can't be because I think we're working with, I don't totally understand it, but all cell phones now are digital and our board is analog, and so that's a problem.
For now, changes are a coming.
Yeah, we're going to get a new fancy board soon, Dean, so you're going
to... Yeah, you guys are number one, right? You should be able to have your own board. You should be able to like have stuff that you can use from the 90s forward.
That's right.
We're working on that.
That's right. Our studio makes WKRP look modern. So, Dean... You're a busy guy over at DeanBlundell.com. Lots going on there for people to look at. A couple of things. I'll throw these at you, and then we'll just go over them in whatever order you wish. I thought the guy giving us a full moon on the subway was great. I thought the little video of the kid telling us that he loves himself, even though he looks like a burnt chicken McNugget, was unbelievably cute. The drunk daycare kid was also interesting.
Yeah.
And your tips for a fella with a horrible wife. I thought you really hit the nail on the head when telling him that if she wants to sleep with other men and have somebody else's baby, it's probably time for her to hit the bricks.
Yeah, it's to me a no-brainer, right? Like when your wife comes home and she says, you know what, I got to tell you, I've been having sex with a whole bunch of different guys. I didn't take out the garbage. And I want to have a baby, and I want you to raise it, but I don't want you to impregnate me with the baby. It's got to be one of these guys that I'm doing it. So anyway, he wrote this article into the Toronto Star. I don't know if it's like a Dear Abby thing, but I saw it, and I couldn't believe one of the things that struck me is if you read the first sentence of what the guy was saying, which is like, hi, dear so-and-so, it's me, super loser. My wife can't stop having sex with other guys because she says I'm too small down there. Plus, she wants to have a kid with another dude, but wants me to raise it because she likes my level of income. And she thinks I'm a responsible man. I love my wife. What do? And I read that and I thought, oh, my God, I cannot believe people actually need advice for their cheating wives and why it's a bad thing. Bad thing for you to stay married to a woman who doesn't want to have anything to do with you sexually because your wiener's too small.
It's very sad. And, you know, I guess it depends, too, on time in on a marriage. If you're newly married, say, 3 to 5 years, and she's already fooling around and telling you your wiener's too small and she wants to have kids with other guys, that marriage is over. You know, maybe 30 years down the road, the woman says, you know, I think I want to sample something else at the buffet. You might say, you know what? Maybe we both want to sample something else at the buffet. Let's try that out. But
oh, no. He's not allowed to sample at the buffet.
Oh, really?
He's got like a perpetually endless plate.
Wow.
He's not allowed to. That's the crazy part about the story. And as I was reading the story, I got angrier and angrier thinking, somehow this woman has convinced this guy that he's not worth anything unless he's with her, but she's allowed to do anything. And I thought, you know, hey, this woman should be in sales. I hope she is. she should be doing radio sales. Buy this. It's worth nothing. Yeah. All right. Anyway, but I was thinking about it as I was, and as I was writing the post and I was doing the story, I found myself getting like angrier and angrier, wondering how long did this guy live like this with her convincing him that it was okay for her to go out and have all kinds of sex with other guys. And that it was his fault, and he should let her do it because he was born with a small wiener. And I wanted to ask Craig, you know, what is this like?
Oh, I couldn't see that one coming across the 401. Listen.
Is it just me, though?
Well, let me defend myself.
Okay, you defend yourself.
I give it all I've got, and I bang the hell out of the sides.
I can't stop laughing. I'm joking.
But hang on. Is it just me? Because I read this, and my first thought is, how long did she wait to open up this conversation? Like, do you know when you're about to have an awkward conversation? And for me, it's like, I want a new set of golf clubs, but I don't know when's the perfect time to open up this conversation. How long did she wait before she opened that one up, or did she just do it right over dinner?
Well, I think I don't know how long she waited. It is an interesting conversation, but let me just twist a little bit. For sure, they both knew he had a small wiener.
Right, true.
And so, for sure, if they both knew he had a small one, before they got married, they probably should have had a conversation. But in my mind, I just see this oblivious idiot going, I guess she's never had anything that big before. I'm not going to say anything and see if she doesn't notice that I have a small penis according to the law of averages.
If I don't bring
and then,
it up.
Then they didn't have the conversation. So because they didn't have the conversation, it's like she uses it as a way to hold him hostage. She uses his small little thing. He knows he has one, so that's even worse. But now he's using it like, because it's small, I get to go do my thing. So she's not the kind of woman that you want to have around for the rest of your life.
No,
you know what
not
I mean?
At all. No, not. There was a story a little while back, too, kind of a similar situation where this woman had married this guy, and she said to him, look,
Craig.
What? Well, now that time, that went right by me. She said, look, I want us to stay married, but any children we have, I want to pick the guy out. I want somebody who's smart and who's good looking, and you're neither of those. And so I want a baby with a man that I know that the baby's going to have better odds of being bright and handsome or beautiful.
Imagine. Yeah, not a huge loser.
No, that's right. Imagine your wife comes to you and says, I love you, but damn, you're ugly and not so smart.
Right.
You know, that's hurtful.
Yeah, you know, that's those. I remember once when I was a kid, I said to my dad, he asked me about this girl that I liked. And I go, she's not the prettiest girl in class, but I really like her. Mm. And he's like, do me a favor, son. Don't tell that to anybody.
That's a good point.
Right. Don't tell that to anybody. Definitely don't say this to her. Don't tell her she's the prettiest girl. She's not the prettiest girl in class, but she'll do.
Yeah.
Right? Like, everybody knows what they're dealing with. This is my point.
Mm-hmm.
And for anybody much like yourself or anybody else that has a small... I'm looking doing it again.
You know, it's from different angles, Dean. It doesn't look so bad. And it depends on how much grooming I've been doing as well. So.
Anyway, I just thought it was such a righteously awesome story that there was a dude. And you know what was amazing is I expect those stories out of the States, but this was like a letter that someone in the city of Toronto wrote to some, for whatever reason, some person at the Toronto Star going, you know what? I've got some marital issues. My wife keeps sleeping with other people, and I have a small penis. I wonder what I should do. See a doctor? No. Get a divorce lawyer? No. Write a letter to the local newspaper.
Yeah, you'd think there'd be a back chat room online somewhere you could find that info. But as we're talking about Craig's frailties, I will point out the fact that he does not have lower back pain anymore. I'm not sure he's gone the Irish way of self-medicating it, but the good news is he seems to be better.
Yeah, that guy's a beauty, huh?
No lower back pain means you're not carrying as much weight out front.
Very true. Thank you. I'm glad you noticed that at least. That actually makes it look bigger as well. You lose a little tummy weight.
Yeah, it does when you lose weight. I lost a bunch of weight when I quit drinking. I'm like, man.
That's huge.
I didn't know that stuff made your wiener smaller.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're Johnny Holmes. Hey, that
there's a hey. Can you use porn star names from, like, not the 70s?
You're right. I don't know any current ones. Outside of Stormy not Daniels.
The, not the era of hair. Can
I know, it's true. Yeah, no, good point. Well, actually, speaking of eras, this guy's not only got a small penis. Who the hell writes into a local paper anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's a problem-solving thing, right? Like, I'm guaranteeing you he doesn't have the internet.
Right.
He's like, I'm going to write a letter to the local newspaper.
They were just so shocked they actually got a letter in.
Hey, yeah, you know what? I've been having this twitching and these bloody noses and I haven't had a bowel move in 3 months. What should I do? See a doctor?
Yeah.
Nope. Write a letter to the local newspaper.
Right.
That's what I'll do.
That's right. May I quick quote, if I may, from DeanBlundell.com. There's a video you have. It is unbelievable of this guy being rescued in the French Alps by a helicopter. You can't describe it on the air necessarily. You just got to go to DeanBlundell.com and check it out. But you say, I don't know a whole lot about flying a helicopter, but what I do know is if those blades go into the snow, they're all mountain butter. And and it's very impressive. This helicopter pilot is unbelievable.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the picture of the dude, and then the two things: A is the if he's his rotors and his helicopter blades are like literally inches from the snow, and if they go into the snow, they're dying. So these guys go and rescue this mountain climber. But the video is incredible because the mountain climber who phoned in distress to have this rescue thing was casually filming the entire rescue the whole time too. So it took huge nuts to do it. It was fun to watch too. If you get a chance to have a look at it, go and look at it. The rescue video for the guy in the French Alps. Still, I'd give him a talking to once you get him to the bottom of the mountain. Though that seemed irresponsible, Craig.
I'm sorry. All right, I will. I'm sorry. Listen, Dean. Lucky kind of we were going with another one of your stories, and we bypassed it. But Lucky was mentioning the guy who decided to inject his own personal batter into his arm to fix his back. That's also a good story you've got at DeanBlundell.com.
Yeah, it didn't work.
No,
it didn't work.
No, self stem cell research somehow doesn't work.
Yeah, it's an interesting story, too, because, he read this article in the doctor's, it was like a stem cell thing, and it said, I think he meant to read seemingly, and he read seemingly. So he reads this little pamphlet while he's waiting for the doctor. He's like, I got back pain.
Yeah.
They're suggesting here semen might cure my lower back pain. So he spent 18 months providing himself with his own medicine and then injecting that medicine into his arm. And now he's just got an armful of semen.
It's like the story online these days of people doing something called urine therapy, where people are not only drinking their own urine, but they're bathing in it, they're dropping it in their eyes, they're using it as an enema.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Doctors say it's not good for your kidneys, but okay, let's either listen to science or morons on the internet telling you to drink your own pee.
I think those people do that. It's sort of like when I was a kid and I made the kid across the street eat some poop and told him it was a candy. That's what I think the internet is all about. Now.
Is that what a young being you know what I mean?
No, but I think the internet's just one giant prank.
Yeah. Right.
Like, yeah. It's a, hey, try to soak this tampon in motor oil and see what happens. stuff like that. Or like, hey, it's really beneficial for you to put gasoline in your shoes and then light them on fire before you go to work. It's a great new internet prank, like the cinnamon challenge.
Exactly.
And the people that get caught up in those, I think, are the people, like, if someone believes urine therapy is the way to go, I'm fairly certain that the people that get caught up in the urine therapy thing are the people that should get caught up in things like that. So I don't worry too much about it.
There you go, Dean. Thank you very much. As always, we'll do this again on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, Pally.
All the best, boys. Love you.
Love
you. Love you, Dean. Yesterday, I went home, and I just stayed in bed all day, and I finished up making a murderer.
Okay.
Now I understand there's going to be a season 3. This is what I was reading. So that's good because, of course, you're left with them, you know.
In limbo.
In limbo again.
It's a frustrating series that way.
It is. And wild, too, how the defense lawyer, this woman, she...
A little creepy.
She started looking at... you find her a little creepy?
I find her a little creepy.
I think there's just something up with her jaw.
Yeah.
The way she talks is kind of out of the side of her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
She started suspecting the ex-boyfriend. And it's funny, in the first season when they start the search, and he's organizing the search, and then he was in court testifying, I even thought then, there's something up with this guy.
Yeah.
But then when they get into the fact that the brother Bobby and the stepdad might have followed her outside of the Avery property.
Uh-huh.
And there's the call that is made between Stephen and his sister Barb where she's snapping at him. Like, yeah. You're going to have a dead sister. And then the husband gets on the line and he's screaming at him.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God. So, you know, and interesting enough, at one point, Barb, the mom of Brendan Dassey, who's in prison for this, she says... Bobby's the only brother who has never gone to prison to see Brendan.
Hmm.
At one point she made that. She goes, her excuse, and this is earlier on in season 2, her excuse is that it's too hard on him. And I went, well, now is it too hard on him, or he's just so guilty about it all
yeah.
that he can't face his brother?
It's a really crazy, and then cell phone towers and pings and all sorts of stuff. And
it's wild.
Getting, she might have been on another piece of property that's attached to it. It's a really crazy case and frustrating to watch. And when you think about it, I can't imagine how frustrating it would be to be a part of it if you're sitting in prison for 17 years waiting for all of this to go down.
You know, the only thing that seems to save them is their IQ.
Yeah.
I think they're so dopey that it doesn't settle in the reality of things as much as perhaps it would for somebody who had a bigger vision and understanding of how things work.
Right.
The mom and dad are very funny. There's one scene I was howling at because I saw it in my parents. And obviously, the mom's, she's in her 80s. She's had knee surgery, all those different things.
The dad can't hear.
Dad can't hear. And when she's trying to figure out the stove, and he's right there. He's in the living room in his lounger watching a football game.
That's right.
And she's like, whatever his name is, Art, get over here. Help me with the stove. And then he's over there going, well, what element do you want? She goes, that one. He's like, what? And they're literally feet from one another. I used to play this joke with my parents all the time where my dad would say something. I'd go up to my mom and to the side of her ear, and I'd go, Dad wants to know if you're going to the mall. Anyhow, so then she ends up calling him an idiot. You're such an idiot. Get away. Oh, it's funny just the way an older couple will treat each other as the years roll on.
When you add the Wisconsin accent into it makes it all that more entertaining.
Yeah, so I'm intrigued. I don't know. I guess we don't know whether Kathleen, the lawyer, has carried on, because it ends like summer or fall of 2018.
Right.
Or maybe earlier. Maybe it's the spring when they finally said no to Brendan getting another opportunity.
Right, and he's kind of stuck there. It's so frustrating to watch. And I remember looking at cases like David Milgaard.
Mm.
Of course, the song "Wheat Kings for the Hip" is about him.
Mm-hmm.
Hurricane Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Right, these innocent people in jail.
Yep.
And so fascinated by it and how the system and you know, they said it early on in this Making a Murderer series that you know you have a right to be innocent, but you don't have a right not to be in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So they have to continually battle to get out of jail. The system is designed to keep them in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, as Stephen Avery said, you know, they can throw you in quickly.
Yeah.
But it takes forever to get out.
Oh, it's so frustrating to watch.
If you haven't seen it, the season one's really good. Season two drags a little bit.
Well, the fact that there's been no resolution through two seasons of it makes it
wild.
Drag on.
Yeah, and the research they can do now, and the forensics, like people who are experts in the strangest stuff.
Yeah,
like some guy's an expert in burnt bodies.
Yeah,
like how did that end up being your career choice? It's so bizarre. What do you do for a living? I examine dead bodies.
Right,
but they
not have, just any dead body. No, only burnt ones.
Only that's right. I'd like to know who the hell's letting Prince Philip take the Land Rover out for a drive.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, my grandfather, at some point in his life, we didn't even let him touch the remote for the TV anymore. Well, what the hell? What the hell they're doing saying, yeah, let Gramps take the car out for a spin. He's 97 years old, and he took it for a spin indeed, and he flipped it. Got into an accident with another car, and the other car was carrying two women and a baby. And thankfully, everybody seems to be okay. One of the women had a broken arm, but at 97, I mean, enough with the driving already.
Should be packing that in. And I didn't think they drove at all. I mean, what need would he really have?
Right.
I mean, they've got servants, butlers, security.
It's not like he's racing out to grab more tea bags.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very strange. Now, do you think Will and his brother drive?
I can't remember when they picked up the kids from the hospital, whether or not he was driving maybe he was driving and security was. I always get screwed up because they're on the wrong side of the car.
Right.
When they get in and out.
Well, maybe for those little photo opportunity moments, he gets to drive it down the street to the first side street, and then he's got to get out and switch spots.
Yeah, I don't know what their daily life is if they need to be ripping around anyway. I mean, for the wedding, yes. You remember he drove that cool little Aston Martin or whatever. But I don't know if they really need to get behind the wheel at all ever.
If I had any kind of dough like that and influence and power, the last thing I'd want to be doing is driving myself around, looking for parking spots and all that. You'd always want to just dial down to the driver and say, get the car ready, warm it up.
Right.
I'll be down in a minute.
Drop me off at the door.
That's right. Yeah, don't understand. Anyhow, Prince Philip was all right. He is all right. 97. And amazing that he actually was okay. Like, you just think an accident like that, he's got to be fragile at this point. He was supposedly going on about, where should I put my legs? My legs. Where should I put my legs? I don't know what the hell that means. But
well, they had to, because the car went on its side. They had to get him out.
Yeah.
And they say he's going to be all right. But still, I just don't know what the... I mean, you got so much land.
Yeah.
You know, they're off some country estate. There's so many roads on that estate without anyone else on them. What the heck does he need to do driving around on a regular road for? Was he going to Costco?
Pick up the big 27-pound mac and cheese.
I can't stand Liz's mac and cheese. That's going to Costco for one.
I wonder if the Queen Mum gave him hell, too, when he got home. Philip, what have I told you before? Anyhow, so... Yes, there you go.
Never easy, though. Can't be an easy conversation to yank any parent's driver's license away, anyone's driver's license. Say, hey, especially if they feel they're okay.
Yeah.
Say, hey, it's time to pack it in.
Enough is enough, yeah. But
especially when he's, one of the leaders of the free world, I guess. You know, he's a monarch, damn it. I'll do what I want to do.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, my dad's 80 and he still lives in Windsor and he comes up and down a few times a year. And in the wintertime, sometimes he'll take the train now if it's looking like it's going to be bad. And sometimes my sons have driven with him if they had to go back and forth. And he's 80 and he's got to go do his test again soon, I think. And there is always a side of me, is this safe still? You know, is he all right? Seems like a good driver, you know. I mean, he spills a little bit of his rum now while he's driving because of the shakes. But outside of that, he's fine. And yeah, no, you start to concern yourself because that, as people age, their ability to be mobile and come and go as they please diminishes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that becomes another kind of punch in the head for them about the time that the clock is ticking. And
well, reaction times aren't what they are. They didn't be necessarily go all through a decade of driving through their 80s into their 90s without getting into an accident.
Yeah.
That's not saying they're not dangerous on the road. And listen, age doesn't mean just being older doesn't mean you're more dangerous because there's a lot of young and stupid as well that are on the roads.
Jerry Seinfeld has the great bit about old people driving in Florida.
Right.
They just back up and they don't care. I'm old.
You take me, you take me.
They always got their indicator on like they're looking for an address or they're making a left. Anyhow, crazy story, but he's good, and the people that he hit are also fine, so it's all ended up okay. There is a push on to have school revamped in the way we teach our kids. You know, there's many who have said for a very long time, I don't know that I really need to know that pi is 3.14.
Right.
Or I don't know that I needed to know the parts of an atom or the different types of rocks. But what I do need to know is how to manage my money and budget, how to do taxes, understanding credit cards and student loans, how to negotiate anything, how to fix a house, just day-to-day things that we need to maneuver our way through this little life of ours. And I would tend to agree with that. I think there should be more focus put on that stuff because not everybody is going to be a scientist.
No. Well, and there are life skills, and thankfully, the Ontario government, at least talking about their school curriculum for high schools and adding things like financial planning, which, we've talked about in the past, is something that, wish you had thought about more in high school, because that's the time to really get things done. As soon as you get out of high school, get yourself a job or start a career, and careers change this day and age. Young people aren't staying in careers as long as the past, our parents and grandparents did. You find one job and that's it for life.
That's right.
Obviously times have changed. Jobs don't stick around forever. We've seen that, unfortunately. And you have to be prepared for financial future or for financial struggles as well, because the stats came out recently this week that like 50% of us aren't ready for a financial emergency, which they say is like having 6 months
right
saved up just in case, well, have you lost your job or the ability to do your job, or you know, some sort of emergency happened, a health issue, an accident, would you be able to recover or stay afloat? And most of us are living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all these things that it would be good to teach students things like budgeting and saving and planning for the future. Although when you're talking to a 15 or a 16-year-old, talking about the future, they just blank because, you know, it's to them, it's so far away. And they just think, you know, many of them will think this way. They'll just go, I'll worry about that later, you know.
Well, I think, you know, times are changing that way, too, where you get students who are more aware of where they're going to be going. They have to be, too, because now, you know, when we were in high school, it was a year longer.
Right.
All right. So now at 18, you're out into college, university, or into the workforce. So you're pushed ahead of year. A lot of kids are thinking, well, I'm not going to start driving. Instead, I'm going to use commuting and get to work that way. And I think they're having to plan things a lot earlier now. And it's going to be a lot more difficult and competitive to get into college, university, and the workforce just based on the number of students that you know, they have to kind of think ahead. And they think environmentally at a younger age now as well. I think they're ready for it. Or forcing it upon those who aren't ready isn't a bad thing either.
Well, and as tough as it's getting to get into good schools, there's always trades. And, you know, it's been an ongoing discussion about the lack of people who are able to do a trade. I read an article a little while back about brick masons, how it's a dying art.
There's still a stigma to it as right. well, that the trades are, you know, you're not, you fall into them. You don't go into them.
Right.
Mike Holmes, the inspection and home builder, was tweeted something yesterday about his son and a friend who were in the mall, and his friend's an electrician was working in the mall, and someone walked by with their kid and said, see, this is why you stay in school. That electrician's probably making more.
Oh, listen, drive through any really nice neighborhood, and you might see these beautiful homes and estate-style places, and you might think, oh, it's all just very successful CEOs or lawyers or doctors. It's a lot of tradespeople, a lot of guys who own plumbing companies and electrical companies that own those big homes because it pays huge dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I always said to my boys, there was a buddy of mine who was, he did hardwood flooring, installed sanding and all of that. And for a few summers in a row, he very kindly would take them on and have them work for him over the summer. They learned how to install hardwood flooring. They learned how to sand and stain. And I just used to say to them all the time, look, if whatever job or career you have falls apart, you've got to have something else to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
So just take this, learn it. The guy's going to teach you for free. You know, why wouldn't you? Now, I think it's 4, 5, 6, 7 years gone by now. If you asked them to do any sort of hardwood installing, they wouldn't know what side of the board to put down now. I think they've forgotten it all. But it's important, and you should never, ever, ever poo-poo the idea of someone wanting to take a trade. When you look back now, and there's always the rumor of Stamkos coming, and of course we're very happy to have Tavares. But is there any thought of, boy, I still would have taken Stamkos over Tavares? Or are they all
1A, 1B, I think, in that scenario?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't complain with the way John Tavares has played in Toronto.
No.
You know what? You got him and be happy about it.
Yeah. And Stamkos has such a life. I went to Tampa. I went to see a Detroit Red Wings and Tampa Bay Lightning game. And the arena there is great. You know, all around it, restaurants and patios and stuff going on. And then there's all these high-rise condos all around it. And supposedly someone was telling us, we were out having some drinks before the game, and they said, oh, yeah, Stamkos owns like 2 or 3 of the penthouses, and he rents them out and stuff. But he lives up in that one, and he just, you know, comes down and walks across and goes to the game and lives this amazing life, and nobody really bothers him because it's Tampa, and so hockey's still not the big thing. People, you know, would race to a Buccaneers before.
I remember his draft year, and I think it was, I want to say like 2007 or 2008 when he got drafted. But, I mean, he was the number one overall pick. They knew he was going. And once Tampa knew they had that first overall pick, they were putting up, you know, billboards of Sean Stamkos with his face on it.
Yeah.
You know, just to let everyone know in Tampa that, all right, we got somebody coming who's going to be pretty significant. And with that, the, you know, he's carried on to a pretty good NHL career. He's a phenomenal hockey player.
Yeah. Oh, he's unbelievable.
He always reminded me of Brett Hull. In what I saw of him, watching him in the OHL, a guy who found ways to get open, and once he did, he was deadly. He'd go down the one knee with that one timer. You know, he and Ovechkin are probably the two best one timers in the NHL. But Stamkos was just unbelievable. And we were chatting with Greg Walters, who's the Generals' head coach right now, was his was an assistant coach in Sarnia when Stamkos was there, and he told me he's like unbelievable hands. He said he could fire a puck as hard as he wanted to, Walters, at Stamkos, and he'd one time it.
Wow.
It didn't matter where it was. He would. Wow. He said it was unbelievable.
Well, you saw those commercials of him playing hockey in his driveway in Markham.
Yeah.
Constantly one timing it into the net.
Yeah, it turns out it works.
Practice actually works. Well, you know, it's funny, too, in the state of Florida, you got the two organizations and the Panthers and the Lightning, and it's amazing how polar opposite they are in that. I think the Panthers had that one shot. They went deep into the playoffs one year, many years ago.
Yep.
And
the Rats.
Since then, they've just done nothing. And Tampa is always a contender. It's just interesting that the two teams, you know, in the same state, but couldn't be more opposite. You don't even, like, does anybody ever think of the Florida Panthers when you talk hockey?
Not a perennial threat.
No.
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 But you know, you look at some of the names of when been through the Tampa Bay Lightning, too. You had those. That year with like Richards, LeCavalier, and Martin St. Louis.
Yeah, always had a great
strong line. They always had that kind of great top line. They won a cup, Dave Andrechuk there.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. And so it was, you know, it's a team that's really built itself well and drafted well.
Yeah, they certainly have. But the Leafs beat them last night.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.